Hello and welcome to another episode of Casting Views, the podcast that takes a subject each week and, as the name suggests, cast views. This week is another episode in my Who's Coming to Dinner series, and I'm really pleased because I've got first time voice on the show. I've got Sean from Review It Yourself. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Dan, you all right, mate?
Not too bad. So I should also call this out that this is also a Podpack collective. I'm not going to shout out everyone in that because it's just growing now and the list will be longer than, probably take me longer to read those out than the episode at some point.
Oh, don't you end up doing what I had to do where you have to put in brackets, not at time of recording, not at time of recording, yeah. Not at time of recording.
Exactly, especially as this will go out, this isn't going to go out for like a month. And so by that point, there'll probably be another few members and then they'll get upset that I haven't called them out in this. So we'll just call out the Podpack Collective. Yeah, I'm really excited to have you on because you had me on your show. Actually, that episode only went out a little while ago for Rocky, yeah. Which, again, I've got to say thank you because it's one of my favourite films there.
Yeah, do you know what? It's funny because my colleague at work, who like, I drive about a lot with, and you know what it's like when you're driving around between jobs, you talk a lot. Yeah, he doesn't like Rocky.
Really?
Doesn't like Rocky. No, he thinks they're overrated, wasn't like impressed with them. Thought it was okay, but he was like, I don't know how that won an Oscar, but like best picture, and I'm just like trying desperately to just drive straight, thinking, don't get angry. No, it's that's the beauty of films. People with different opinions. It's great.
Yeah, and I was about to go on a 5-minute defense of Rocky, but this isn't what we're here for. This isn't what we're here for. But yeah, if you're doing the sequels, let me know because I'll gladly come on for those. But
I've literally got the box set over there.
Oh, have you? There you go.
Yeah, I've got every Rocky film from Rocky to Rocky Balboa just sat there in a DVD box set, just waiting for you.
Enjoy the ride. So what we're talking about, you and your podcast. So yeah, Review It Yourself, but you've got kind of three flavors of the pod, haven't you? So I want to, before we get into the dinner party itself, I want to talk a little bit about yourself and your podcast. So yeah, just want to introduce yourself.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. I'm Sean from Review It Yourself. I paused there because I usually sigh before that. it's basically just a film podcast. We've been going, well, I say we, it's just me, been going since October 2021. So, you know, it's our third year of podcasting, if you put it in that point. And it's just myself and a guest and just our, you know, I know everyone says it, but it's just our really quite honest opinions on the film. It's a much more conversational type podcast that, because I think that's the norm in a lot of spheres, but I think film podcasts, some of them are quite structured, which is fair enough, you know, to each their own. But mine's very much just a conversation because I can chat with the best of them. And I do quite a bit. Well, I started doing quite a few side series, but they've whittled down. So the most successful side series we've got is Defend It Yourself, where you come on and you defend your favourite bad film. So, for example, I love Batman and Robin. I know, don't. If you want to switch off, I understand. But, people will come on, defend their favourite films that everybody thinks, you know, they're quite maligned. So Alien 3, you know, Meet Joe Black. These are the kind of films that you go through, which is entertaining in itself. So, yeah, that's a good one. We've also got, what's the other one? Preview It Yourself, which is, to be fair, we've got two episodes recorded that are both with Sarah from Weird Horizon, where we watch trailers together and we just give our honest opinions on them. And the second episode, which will be out sometime later the year, we were so deflated because the trailers were so bad. Like that, I said to her afterwards, I'm so sorry, because you could feel our energies drop. But that should be quite a funny one because, yeah, we got bored and started watching trailers from old shows just to cheer ourselves up.
I love the consistency of the branding though. Review It Yourself, Defend It Yourself, Preview It Yourself.
Well, there's been a few more that have fell by the wayside. So yeah. Visit It Yourself was a video podcast which was going to look at the battlefields of Northern England. There's one of those episodes that went out, but video podcasting or videos, it's a totally different ball game. And I never got it to a point where I was happy with it. And it took a lot of work. So there's one of those, if you want to go find that. That's got its nice snazzy logo as well. I've always got ideas. There's always different. I mean, it became a bit of a joke. You know, I think there's a Pick It Yourself in there, which was one when somebody gave me loads of DVDs and I just blindly picked one out. I only did one just as a joke. That was Knowing, the Nicolas Cage film. Another It Yourself series that fell by the wayside after, I think, 3 episodes or 4 episodes, was Explain It Yourself, where somebody from another country came on and explained like a sport in their country that I didn't understand.
Okay.
So yeah. I had a Canadian talking about hockey, an American talking about their version of football, which is handball, but we're not going to get into that. So that was kind of the idea behind that. But there's just lots of different, but that I was never quite happy with that because it was much more of a, not from a guest point of view, more from my point of view, in that it was much more of an interview type podcast. I don't know if you've noticed, but I quite like talking. They were okay, but you know, I felt it was probably not the right thing to do at that point. And then try to think if there's any more. Of course, that if you look back in the back catalogue, I think Bill is on either a break or a hiatus, or he's finished. I'm not sure. But you know, I did a lot of episodes with Bill from Bill Reeves Bad Reviews, and there's about 4 different side series with him. There was breaking Bill, beverages with Bill, where we each used, every week I tried like a different beverage from their country, like America, like Arizona sweet tea, and what's that god awful foul thing they drink that tastes like fizzy Benelin, root beer. So there's like loads of different avenues that I've done. Because I'm someone who firmly believes that, you know, I mean, you know, like Bill's episode, you know, like Bill's film podcast, his is very structured. You know what you're getting. I very much think that, just personally, I always wanted to keep the podcast moving forward. So I don't mind trying things and then going, yeah, it doesn't quite work. I didn't enjoy that. But I don't mind trying.
I think that's the beauty, though. It's like this episode you're on here, the Who's Coming to Dinner, that started off from a random idea, and I'm really enjoying it. I've got the Pilot Views episodes as well, I'm starting to do now, and there's a new one at time of recording, hasn't aired yet, but called Mind Wipe. And I think why not try them, because sometimes it might just take you down another avenue that you might
I forgot one, it's not out yet as of time of recording. I've been doing some Doctor Who live streams on YouTube, because we're now on YouTube. I've been doing some guest spots there with the rabbi from another planet, who's a big Doctor Who fan. And there's a few feelers out there for a few more guest spots, which, as me and Dan were talking about before we started, they are sometimes easier because you don't have to do any prep. You just turn up, you talk, you say, thanks a lot, bye, this is my show, and you go. No editing. Although I do quite like the edit, because I like to be able to pick out bits thinking that didn't come across well. But that's always the worry. But there's a new Doctor Who. Not the new Doctor Who, although we'll see. But there's a new side series starting called the Donna Noble Chronicles. That is every episode from 2006 to 2010 with Catherine Tate's character Donna Noble in it. I'm not doing the new specials, because I've already done those with Clayton from Men Who Like Movies, who I've done a lot of episodes with as well. And we're recording the second episode of that. So we've done The Runaway Bride, and we're about to do Partners in Crime, funny enough, next. I think that's recording later next week. So that's kind of kicking up a notch. I've always got stuff going on. I plan to do all the Jaws films with Paul from History Rage. He wants to do Jaws, and we're going to do combine those with the sequels. I've got something else coming up with, I won't spoil who it's with or anything like that, but I'm doing kind of an M. Night Shyamalan off. Okay. With Dimitri from the Psych Effect podcast, and Sarah from Weird Horizon, because I love Signs, Sarah loves Signs, Dimitri doesn't like it, but he loves like The Sixth Sense. So we're going to have like a Shyamalan off, in essence. So that's going to get recorded soon. I'm kind of never stand still, so I'm going to, usually I have a film, and it goes off on tangents, one episode will revolve around a film.
Yeah.
We've got other stuff coming up, so there's going to be more Titanic stuff, so I've just recorded an episode. See, I sound like I'm nuts, like I'm really busy, but I keep my hand in. I've just done an episode with Paul from History Age, which is about with the German version of Titanic from 1943 as well, where we're looking at the myths and kind of the mistakes that people who don't know a lot about Titanic might understand. And Paul came on and just had a bit of a rage about that. So yeah, there's always lots going on. I'll probably finish and think I forgot this and that. There's always lots going on. Oh, Rush Hour. With the Decision Reel guys, we're doing every Rush Hour film. Oh, yeah, after yeah. we did after we did all the Lethal Weapons, which I'd never seen the Rush Hours. So we've already done Rush Hour 1. We're going to do the others. There's always stuff going on, always.
And that's the life of a podcaster, right? Always something going on. And I just want to go back to something you said about you being a conversationalist in terms of the approach, because that's what I do like, because I've got in my rotation, I've got a few podcasts where it is very much reviews, or not necessarily reviews, but talking about films. And sometimes I just want to hear, I was going to say ramblings, but that sounds negative, but the inner workings of someone's mind, like, you know, like waffling. When you're watching a film, yeah, just the complete off topic things about film. And just to that point, I was listening to an episode of yours today. I think it's a John Carter one, I think. I think you're talking about Avatar in it, and you're comparing Avatar 2 to a sandwich. I think you are. You're saying it's like a sandwich that's gone dry, and you know, a sandwich you don't want, but you finish it. And I was thinking, this is exactly the kind of thing I love hearing.
To be fair, yeah, I am. Yeah, that was a defense. That's the latest Defend It Yourself, Carter, which I've written with the absolutely fantastic Brenda from Horrifying History. And yeah, we've been trying to organize that for a year. Bless her. I thank her for coming on, because she runs a ridiculously successful podcast in Canada. And she was, you know, you got to big up each other. She was great. It was a great episode. Although I turned up to it a week early, but it happens. So that was a great episode. And yeah, I have this weird knack of comparing things to food. You'll understand. I'm quite a foodie. Probably too much so sometimes, but aren't we all? So I tend to kind of say, oh, you know, this is a bit of this film, you know, it's like the nicest looking cake in the world, but you bite into it and it tastes disgusting. Yeah. It's like that. Or I'll say, you know, this film is like, it looks beautiful, but there's just nothing behind the eyes.
Has he really compared Avatar 2 to a sandwich yet? Yeah, yes, yeah.
Oh, honestly, I've even looked back at someone and thought, how does that even come into your head?
But that's what I like, though, and I think that's perfect, because we've all been to those shops where, and here we go, we're going to use that metaphor, where they charge you a fortune for a sandwich, but you're probably just as better off sort of grabbing a slice of bread and sticking your own bit of cheese and having it, and 80p and you're done.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I've got them for the rest of life. It's like when I have to drive down towards London, because I live kind of closer to Scotland than I do. You know, it's very Northern England, if you will. But, you know, when I drive down south for whatever reason, not very often at all, maybe once or twice every couple of years. And I once said to my cousin, you know, I messaged her saying, you know, what, once the service stations on the motorways stop having Greggs and start having Waitrose, you know, it's time to turn around and head back north. So it's a good marker for you to know exactly where you are. In England. So yeah, it's one of them things because I've got to kind of relate it in a way. But I do, even listening back, I think, dear me, but what you were saying about the conversational aspect of it, it's because I make the kind of podcast that I would want to listen to.
Yes,
like, yeah. I don't play That's it up important. But yeah. You know, my favorite podcast, the Finnish now, but was Film Floggers, and theirs was just either two of them usually just talking about a film, and it used to go all over the place. And you know, might count against you sometimes, because people, you know, I have some episodes, like I was down the Rocky one, we didn't talk about the film for 10 minutes. Yeah, but you think, well, we've got to, you know, you've got to kick on. And, you know, I do listen, and I do think I could cut this out, I could cut that out. But then you think, well, I like hearing those really random bits in other people's podcasts. It's what I really find funny.
Absolutely.
So I hope that people would find the same. I don't find myself funny, but I'd like to think people would find it entertaining. That's why the whole tagline of the show is no politics, no pandering, which is just a joke as well. And, you know, absolutely, but it was no point, because there's no point to it. I'm not trying to prove a point. I'm not trying to, like, convince somebody. You know, it's like they defend it. They're not trying to convince me. They can say it's great. I can say it's awful. But that's the whole point. Like, the point of it is, there isn't a point. It's just meant to entertain people. That's it. Like, there's no ulterior motives to it.
And that's why, like, with the majority of my episodes, I want it to be kind of like you've sat down in a pub, or you're at around someone's house and you're just having a chat with a few people. Because that's the sort of thing I love listening to. And I was saying to someone, I can't remember who it was. It was another podcast that they were talking about, oh, their content, what should they be doing? And I said, look, ultimately, I listen to you because I like you. Now, there are some podcasts I listen to absolutely because I want to listen to a video game podcast. I want to do this, but oftentimes I'm drawn to the character of the person hosting it and presenting it. And like I said, I think in your podcast, that is absolutely, for me, one of the big draws. It's almost like, let's bring our collaboration back together. Rocky, we called that a boxing film that isn't about the boxing. You know, your film, your podcast also, to me, is more about the conversation you're having than the film you're talking about. That's kind of what pulls me in.
Because it used to be about, you know, you used to get the trivia together and it's like, it's not a cop-out, but now it's like, well, we all got the same place, the trivia. But unless you've got like a couple of the books, like I have, like the old Godzilla book, 1998, or you've got like Independence Day, those old books you used to the making of. I've got the making of The Mummy. They did one for Warhorse, which I haven't read yet. So unless you've got a book or something like that that you can kind of read, or documentaries to watch around it, there's only so much you can watch. So every film podcast, and there's lots of them, has got exactly the same trivia. They've got exactly the same, you know, versions of it. They can listen to the same commentary tracks. So all you've got to do is your unique perspective on it. It's like trying to explain sometimes, like film, you know, like James Bond, Skyfall. I don't see what everybody else loves about it. And believe me, I've tried. And that happens to me sometimes where I watch a film and I go, okay, I can kind of get why people might love this, but it just doesn't do anything for me. And then you're like, am I wrong? Am I wrong for not liking this? And then you go on and you listen to a podcast and you're like, yeah, this is what I mean. But the podcasts I like listening to, you know, and sometimes, you know, you've got to grasp them. I listened to two Titanic podcasts back to back. Well, Titanic film reviews back to back. I listened to Seismic Cinemas, a good friend of both of ours, on the Thursday driving home. And I listened to Paul and Sophie from SP Film Viewers. Paul also did my beautiful logos, by the way.
I have to say, your logo, they are great.
It's Paul from SP Film Viewers. He does the art. It's beautiful. So they did the Titanic ones and you just get such a different aspect from each of them. And I find myself, because I tend to listen to them when I drive, and that's a big pick, because over here, you're not allowed to change. You can't pick your phone up once you're driving. You can't touch it, nothing. So if you pick a bad episode, you're stuffed. But they were both great. They were both great. And I find myself talking with them, like Seismic Cinemas especially, because there was a couple of times where you could tell they weren't like Matt. They weren't like I would be. They didn't kind of have loads of, they didn't quite, some of the names I didn't remember. And I found myself like saying, oh, it's so-and-so. And I'm thinking, they can't hear you. And I found myself kind of saying, oh, it's this or that. And I love that sometimes because it's nice to get like a different viewpoint on it. Like Sophie, you know, when I listened to it on the Friday, she'd never seen it before. And she loved the first half of the film and hated the back half of the film and had a bit of a rant. And it was just hilarious. It was just because it's that different. I like that slant that podcasts can bring where it's like loads of people can be like, oh my God, it's the best film ever. Because I do think British podcasts have that different flavour that different podcasts in different countries are always very positive and will always pick the positives because that's just how they do it in their culture. The Americans, the Canadians always look for the positives. Come on. Whereas the Brits, you know, the English, the Scottish, the Irish, the Welsh, we tend to be, you know, there's massive differences between us, but we tend to be much more really like, oh, come on, like that's not good enough. Or this, you know, because you can appreciate the effort going into a film, but still kind of be honest about, yeah, I wasn't happy with that bit and I wasn't happy about this bit. What to do that for?
And that's what the beauty of podcasts is all about as well, isn't it? It's that down-to-earth view, because I do sometimes look at like movie reviews and reviewers and think, you know, after like 30 years of doing that, how jaded must they feel like when they're going into the next sort of franchise sequel number 12 and things like that. Whereas the podcast world, we could be a bit more down-to-earth about it, can't we?
I think so. And I think the worry, not the worry so much, but, you know, I listen to podcasters. I listen to I watch a lot of YouTubers and I watch them because I value their opinion. And I think a lot of the places where people used to, I mean, you're probably going back to when I was a kid, but where people used to get their opinions from. So for example, and I'm not making any comment on that magazine, but Radio Times, for example, you'd go read what they said about something. Or you'd go and read in whatever newspaper you read their film choice of the week or what was in the cinema or a film magazine. I used to read, you know, like Total Film and Empire magazine. And you'd get like the opinions out of those, even though obviously the internet was around by that point. But I'm not that old, but I think that the way people are getting their information has changed, and I think we're moving away from, you know, sites such as Rotten Tomatoes, which I can't stand because I don't think you can quantify a film. I really don't. So in that respect, so I think it's the way we get our information has changed in terms of, like, you know, your opinion. So I'd like to think that I would go on, and if a podcaster or a film reviewer on YouTube says, you know what, this film is going to be decent, I might go, well, you know what, 9 times out of 10, I agree with him or her. I'm going to go give this a look. And that's what convinces me to go see the film, not the trailer, not the people bleating on about, you know, all these hashtags and hashtag the best film ever and this is life-changing and all that pap. I will go off someone saying, actually, no, this has no right to be this good. And I'll give that a go. So,
well, and like you said, those movie magazines, now you need to remortgage your house to be able to afford them now, magazines, and they're full of adverts, aren't they?
Well, yeah, and the thing of, like, who are they writing it for?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, are their opinions truly their own? Because if you're back, like, and I'm not saying, you know, any podcasts or YouTubers that are backed by money or ads, you know, or anything like that, because fair play to them, we'd all love to do that, yeah. Instead of, you know, working for somebody else or the 9 to 5 sometimes. So, you know, you kind of think, well, who are you writing it for? Like, is this really your opinion, or are you just trying not to rock the boat? Because for me, it's like, just give your honest opinion, whether you think it's great or not. There's nothing better than when someone's like, oh, I love this, I'm so enthusiastic about it, because you can hear it in the voice or see it in the face if you watch it on video. And there's nothing, in my eyes, sometimes, depending on what mood you're in, to hear somebody say, oh, this film's just absolutely shocking. Like, I couldn't get away with it at all. And I don't know. I like it. Depends what mood you're in.
Well, it feels like, as we talked about ads, it feels like a good time to drop an ad in. We're going to hear from joint friends of ours, actually. We're going to hear from Chat Tsunami. But as you were talking about having ads, you've mentioned them, and this is a food episode. I mean, Greg's, if you're listening, or if anyone from the Greg's team are listening, you could have your ad in here as well right now. So imagine this.
Oh, Greg's, like, yeah. I'm down for it.
Yeah. If anyone listening is on the Greg's marketing team, drop me a note. So... let's hear from Chat Tsunami, and then we're going to get into Sean's dinner party.
Welcome to Chat Tsunami, a variety podcast that discusses topics from gaming and films to anime and general interests.
Previously on Chat Tsunami, we've analysed what makes a good horror game, conducted a retrospective on Pierce Brosnan's run's James Bond, and listened to us take deep dives into both the Sonic and Halo franchises.
Also, if you're an anime fan, then don't forget to check us out on our sub-series, Chat Tsunami, where we dive into the world of anime. So far, we've reviewed things like Death Note, Princess Mononoke, and the hit Beyblade series.
If that sounds like your cup of tea, then you can check us out on Spotify, iTunes, and all good podcast apps.
As always, stay safe,
stay awesome, and most importantly, stay hydrated.
Right, so Sean, thanks for the chat at the start, but now we're getting to the meat, as it were, of this episode, and it's the whole reason for getting you on is the dinner party. So I've given you sort of the lowdown. So we're going to have 3 courses. You're going to pick for each course what you're going to serve up and who you're going to invite. So it could be, I call it celebrity or person of note. And then at the end, if there's time, I've got a few other things to throw your way. But yeah, let's kick off with the starter. What are you serving and who's coming through the door?
Oh, God, I'll have to be careful because I actually did this on my own show and had to edit it out.
oh, no.
I don't want to kind of abide by the northern stereotype, but I'm not very hoity-toity when it comes to food. A starter. See, this is the awkward bit. I don't do starters because I think you're either a starter or a mains kind of person, or you're a mains and a dessert person, or as we call them, a pudding. Starter. I think what do I like as a I'd go with some nice goujons or something like that.
Okay.
Goujons, maybe top with something. Sweet chili or sauce, something like that.
I've got some Nando's peri peri sauce in the fridge. That'll do me.
Yeah, I've got some of the salt. I've got the salt cellar stuff. Again, Nando's, if you're interested.
Yeah. Well, look, you can't go wrong with that. Like I said, a lot of people on here have done, especially for the start, it's that finger food. It's the one where, yeah, it's just dump it on the table, pick up what you want when you want. Social food.
Well, yeah, exactly. Picky food.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I could have gone the whole beige buffet route, but trying not to.
Oh, very 80s. Sends me back to my childhood, yeah.
Oh, we still do that now. Every birthday, there's a beige buffet. There's a caterpillar cake.
Oh, well, no. When I were a lad, there was the old... it was like the pineapple and cheese hedgehog.
Oh, the hedgehog. Yeah. The hedgehog, yeah. See, never had the hedgehog, but we did used to have... like in our house, my mum still does it because she loves it. But I, celery with primula squirted down the middle of it. Have you ever,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Still, honestly. And it's like, you're like, what? Like, what's this? And then you get your.
So, for anyone listening, if you don't know, sorry, that I've got to explain the hedgehog. So it's kind of like half a dome of like that foam, isn't it? Like that.
Styrofoam, yeah. Covered in tin foil.
Put in tin foil, and then on cocktail sticks, a cube of pineapple and a cube of cheese, and you just jab them in. And I was going back, you were talking about like the celery with the primula. If you were feeling quite sort of posh, you would get the little, you know, the old pastry vol-au-vent cases that you would just chuck a little bit of like prawn cocktail in.
Oh, yeah. Any so here's a really good tip. Which my mum used when we were in school, and it still rings true today. So if your kid has like a bake sale, or like a, you know, I don't know, Christingle or whatever it is at school, or some kind of event, and you're like, oh, I'll bring the cakes, and you think, oh, I don't know, you can actually buy like cakes from like Tesco's, Asda, other shops are available, which don't have any icing on the top. So they're just plain cakes.
Oh, really?
So then you can like decorate them yourself. Yeah. So if you just get the most basic like cakes with like that blob of like pink or yellow or white icing on, and then decorate yourself to make it look homemade.
Okay.
Like Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt, essentially. So it's a good tip, that one, I think. Again, I told you I'd come back to food, Dan. I warned you.
Oh, no, I love food. I love food. And this is why, another reason for these episodes. But yeah, no, don't knock the beige buffet. Like I said, the especially a child birthday party or family gathering, you know, the old little cocktail sausages in a bowl.
Oh, no, I can't. I was just going to mention them. No cold hot dogs in your mouth. No, nobody wants that.
Yeah, sausage.
And that's not a euphemism.
Yeah.
Disgusting. It's the
norm. Scotch eggs now, you know, pork pie. See, I do love a...
Oh, yeah. Pork pie with egg in the middle. Now you're talking.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's the sort of food I love. I love the food where you're just picking. You can just pick all day.
Actually. Oh, yeah, a couple of jars of Pringles or stacks, Aldi's version, which are really nice, to be fair. Again, Aldi.
Yeah.
Bitter. No, yeah, it's there's all sorts. I'm trying to think of what a beige buffet entails now. Oh, them cheesy, twisty things that I don't like. They're like a tweezy... cheesy twist, like pasty things. You just
I know yeah. I know what you mean, but yeah, no, as well,
you know,
back in the day,
Ritz crackers as well. or salts, whatever Aldi's version is.
Do you remember you used to get like the multi-pack where you get like the little fish? They were like the little fish and then the little mini Ritz crackers. There was like a variety of these kind of biscuits, wasn't there?
Little party rings, a classic. You can get mini party rings,
bowl of like pickled onions.
Yeah. Oh, what else would you get? I'm trying to picture the beige buffet. Oh, well, you'd get like buns or bread rolls or whatever you call them, cobs, cut in half, buttered with ham on them or grated cheese on them, or tuna on them. I can't stand tuna. What else? you just all sorts.
For crisps, though, for me, the favourites were always like onion rings or...
Oh, yeah.
Or Watsits, but they can't be like branded ones. They've got to be... supermarket owned
chips.
Brand.
Yeah, because they're the best ones.
So there's like cheese puffs for Watsits.
The little circle cheese ones. Yeah.
But the onion footballs. Ring, the crisp onion rings, I had a weakness for those, I'll tell you.
Mate, you taste them for about 4 days, but they are nice. But yeah, like, yeah, they're out. And oh, what else? Yeah, you get sausages. There's just all sorts. And then like this little one bowl of salad to make you feel better about the rest of it.
We are giving people real insight into the British buffet here, aren't we?
We are. Well, and then if you're feeling that, you know, you might warm the sausage rolls up, or you might have like jack potatoes, like with like, my mum always used to do like at Halloween, she'd do like jack potatoes, but then she'd do like a couple of toppings. One of them was like chicken tikka, like curry sauce with chicken
very
in it.
Nice,
and
really?
If anyone out there hasn't tried that on top of a jack potato, you haven't lived. Because it's absolutely lovely. You know, your cheese. You can have your cheese and your beans if you want. Yes, America, baked beans. especially given what you guys eat. I don't know your diet anyway.
No, I tend to stay away from the controversial topics. All right, I tend to stay away from the controversial stuff.
We've dived into it with baked beans because there'll be people vomiting.
Now you've opened up. You've opened up the tin of beans.
Pandora's box. Yeah. Oh yeah, there's absolutely all sorts.
All right.
So, yeah. Oh god.
So back on topic. So you're surfing up the Goujons. Who is joining us?
For me, I mean, this is going to be a really random one, but only because I've been watching a few of his episodes recently, a few clips recently, and reading about him. But have you ever heard of Fred Dibner? He's passed away now.
Oh yeah.
I think he will be fascinating, just because I don't do building or anything like that, but I just think it would be fascinating to just talk to somebody like that. You know, I think the older generations, because I love history as well, are just fascinating to see. You know, like my late grandma was like, she had like 4 or 5 kids before the NHS was invented or founded. So maybe not that many, but you know, so it's just like, I think, to use the phrase, we don't know we're born. I think we can learn a lot from talking to people from different generations. It's like my job, I meet lots of different people. I get to have lots of different conversations. You know, in the past year, I've met veterans of, you know, the Falklands, veterans of Korea, which was in 1950, you know, veterans of, I met, you know, veteran of the Suez Canal, 1956. So you meet like some fascinating people, and it's, you know, met people in my home area who had actually gone through the Blitz. And although, you know, it was slightly different in the north, but we still got bombs dropped. So, and it's just fascinating. So, yeah, that's the reason why I'd pick someone like Fred Dibner. I know he's not to do with the war, but yeah. Outside of that, to be me, probably going to be all people who aren't living, which I know is a bit morbid.
Well, no, but that's fine. But I was just saying, because Fred Dibner is an interesting person. So if you were to describe him to someone, because I can't imagine many people probably outside of our country, and probably even, well, I was going to say, I think you're a lot younger than me, but probably of a certain generation. He kind of had a really random, because he ended up almost being a television quotes personality, but it was more like you said, it was like the engineering and stuff, the background, that's really what made him.
Yeah, it's definitely so. You know, anyone who doesn't know, Fred Dibner, the late Fred, he was what they call a steeplejack. So he'd be somebody, so the old way would be, you know, a craftsman who goes up chimneys, church steeples, big chimney stacks, buildings, and they'd carry out repairs and maintenance, or as he famously did, you know, you'd demolish them. But just a fascinating guy when you look at his backstory, particularly as like the steeplejack industry started to kind of, like, because the industrial era of Britain kind of started to die away. You know, there wasn't as many things to kind of, once something's knocked down, you're not going to be repairing it every few years. So he then kind of, he was from Bolton, which is in the northwest, same place as Peter Kay, I suppose. If anybody, that's probably a good person to, very different people, of course. But he just had a very, his accent is unlike anybody's I think I've ever heard. And he just became kind of this unlikely television presenter, really. Sorry, he was on a program where it showed him kind of climbing up, and you know, these are very different days. They didn't have harnesses, they didn't have all this. He essentially, you know, demolished this massive steeple, you know, this massive chimney essentially on his own. And I think you can watch that on YouTube. And yeah, just talk, you know, just stood up in the air smoking, you know, just that, like that is, knocking down, you know, day after day.
It's a random pick. I mean, that's the first time I'm absolutely guarantee that we've discussed Fred Dibner on this podcast. Yeah, that's. I like it though. No, I like it. I'm just saying it's nice to have those. And this is, again, the beauty of people is the things that they bring to the table, right? And this is a man that's going to have stories, and that's kind of what you want. Like you said, there are certain people you just want to sit there and just say, right, tell me about this, tell me about that time. And things have changed. What he was doing back in his day, we're now doing, it's all computer guided and machinery, and let's use a buzzword now, it's like all AI, etc., planning everything now, right? So,
well, we wonder why things are going so fantastically. Yeah, exactly. I think, yeah, Sorry.
No, I was going to say, sorry, some of you said about, yeah, like he was doing it without harnesses and that just reminds me, I watched something again, and this was probably 80s or 90s, and it was Blue Peter, of all things. So for anyone listening...
Oh, is it Big Ben? Is it the Big Ben one?
No, it's not that one. But so for anyone listening, Blue Peter was like a children's TV magazine type program, wasn't it? And they were showing via helicopter, I think, they were dropping one of the presenters off on like a lighthouse, and she was just in a harness, literally. They were lifting her out, I think, of the... Or maybe it wasn't by helicopter. I think they were getting as close as they could to the rocks in like a dinghy, and then they put her in a harness and they were like winching her up. But at one point, the harness actually wasn't properly connected. So if she'd have fallen, she'd have fallen right into the waves and on the rocks. And it's like nowadays, yeah, you just couldn't do that. Everything is so... And within reason, there's probably good reason why we've got so much health and safety, right? But it's just interesting when you said back in the day how different things were. Tell you what, let's crack on then to the main course. So I've finished all the goujons and, you know, you've not put any more out. So I'm ready to move on to the main now. So what are you serving up?
Right, okay, mains. I can do quite a decent, it's to be fair, it's Paul Hollywood's recipe. And I made the pastry and everything. I can do like a chicken and bacon with like whole eggs pie. So that's what your starter is going to be.
Okay.
Your main. What am I going to put on the sides? Probably with, you know, carrot, garden peas, mushy peas, if you'd like.
I'm a fan of mushy peas.
Marrowfat peas. I haven't had them since I was a kid. Yeah. Gravy, of course. Thick. Yes. I'm a fan of thick gravy. Not so thick you can stand your spoon up in it, but pretty much there.
Yeah.
Bit of mint sauce, maybe. Yeah, that's
definitely
that's
a pie man. You're winning me over here at the moment. Love a pie.
That'd be the main.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. So chicken and bacon. Yeah, again, lovely ingredients. Yeah, again, there's something about a pie, isn't it? Especially a little one, because it's just all encased. It's perfect. You can bring it on the go. You know, it's a meal on the go. I do love the pastry.
Well, did you know that's where, I know it's a different thing, but you know that's where the Cornish pasty came from?
Yes, yeah.
The fact that they encased it so that the blokes could take it down the tin man.
So it's more for the filling rather than the pastry. The pastry was the casing, wasn't it?
Yeah, essentially, yeah, just to keep all the stuff in. But with a good pie, the pastry's the best bit, to be honest.
Yes, yeah. We've got, around where I live, there's a delicacy called the clanger. I was going to say, it looks more like a flattened, enlarged sausage roll. But it's kind of like Cornish pasty. That one end, it's got a savoury filling. And at the other end, it's got a sweet filling. So again, it's supposed to be similar to, like if you're mining or you're on the go, you've both got your main and your dessert. So they call it the Bedfordshire clanger, if you ever look for that, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've heard of this. It's sweet at one end and savoury at the other.
Yes. So the one I've had, I've only had one, but at one end, I think it was almost like a chicken curry of a sort, and then at the other end it was like jam, apple and jam or something. So you've got the savory and sweet. It's a great idea.
Sounds good, that, like.
But yeah, okay, so your chicken and bacon pie with an egg and gravy, with a bit of mushy peas,
some veg.
Mash and gravy
and pie.
Yeah. Again, I've made the mistake with recording this too late on a Sunday night, so I'm now getting really hungry. Who's the next person through the door?
This is going to be a bit of a random one, and I doubt anyone has said this, but I remember my dad watched films on this American guy who basically fought in the Second World War. He then starred in the films that were based on events that happened during the war. So Audie Murphy would be a pick. I think that would be an interesting person to talk about.
Audie Murphy?
Yeah. So he saw active service, and then I think he won. Did he win the Medal of Honor or one of the highest medals they could win? He was basically a legend, and then he then starred in films. So he was the most decorated American combat soldier of the war, the whole war, and then he starred in films after the war.
Right.
Yeah, he got the Medal of Honor at the age of 19. For fighting in France in 1945. And he then, when he comes back home, he does a biography called To Hell and Back in 1949, and then that's made into a film in 1955 where he plays himself. And he just has this very, very strange kind of, he gets into films. And, you know, and also from like a point of view of talking to him and talking about mental health and stuff like that, he at the time, he would have been classed as having PTSD, but obviously battle fatigue, right. I think, you know, yeah. He slept with a gun under his pillow and stuff like that. So,
wow. Yeah.
It was very, I just think that would be something very, very interesting to kind of talk to, not only from, you know, and I know that a lot of the men from that era wouldn't probably want to talk about their wartime, because I can't imagine it would have been very nice for them to go through. But I think if nothing else, to talk to him about the films and to have a chat with him and say, you know, when you see war films, do you think they get anywhere near? Obviously, I mean, you wouldn't be able to talk about more modern films, but the fella died in 1971. He was only 45. So I think he died at sea. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, I think it would. Sorry, no, a plane crash in the sea, I think. Yeah, remember rightly.
You wonder if it almost is a way of, so the film career was a way of dealing with it, maybe.
Well, yeah, maybe, because I know the films I haven't seen To Hell and Back for years. I'll have to add that to the list. But I can remember watching it with my dad and him saying, oh, yeah, like he actually did this. Mm. And I was thinking, because I've been quite young when I watched them. My dad watched American stuff, but not a lot. Audie Murphy was. Yeah, I haven't seen that film for years.
Well, I'm going to wait for your third person when we get to it, but I've got something I want to, something that I've noted. Because this is ultimately, it's just like almost like me evaluating people as well. I just don't say that before they come on. Like you said, I think, and the fact he was young as well, I mean, everything, he's obviously crammed into that life of his.
Although I've no doubt if he could have, you know, just had a nice quiet life farming, he probably would have preferred it. Yeah. But, you know, it's the way it went for that generation.
Okay, so on to dessert. And the first question, are you a dessert person? Because it's funny what you said earlier. I'm more of a starter and main. Give me a couple of starters and a couple of mains.
No, I'm very much a mains and a desserts or a pudding person. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, definitely. Okay, so what are you serving me then?
So you can have you get a choice. So I do a really nice, and this is true, I'm not just making it up. I do a really nice like banana. It's almost like a bread, but it's not. It's more like a cake. So I do like a banana bread. Kind of dessert pudding, which, you know, I could do with a bit of custard. On the other hand, because, and again, it works with the custard as well. Nice, like you can't whack a jam roly poly, to be fair. Or for the third option, if I'm going to be lazy, your third option is a Walls Viennetta, which you can't, you know, Walls Viennetta you can't whack, which I know is very 1980s of.
I've discussed this on here before. Viennetta was almost at one point, it was like, if you had that, you were posh. Do you know what I mean? was like...
Through the serving hatch, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, wow. Hold on. We've got Viennetta. Who's coming round? Who are we entertaining?
Stop asking. Get in the hallway and practice your curtsies.
Yeah. I like all three, so ultimately my choice would be all three. But do you know what? I think I'm going to go for the banana cake thing with the custard.
Yeah.
I really like the sound of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what my all-time favourite dessert as a kid was? Do you remember Arctic Roll?
Oh, no, they've brought that back.
Have they brought that back, have they?
You can get it from Iceland. Other shops are available.
Yeah. No, if I even want to advertise, you say them all you want. Yeah, again, I know I've mentioned it on here, but anyone listening, imagine it's like a roll of ice cream, isn't it? With
a sponge. Imagine like a chocolate roll. Like, but instead of the cream filling and loads of, it's basically just a ice cream. So
yeah, because you've got the jam, you've got the sponge. I do like an Arctic roll, yeah.
You know, and if you want a dessert, but you're feeling particularly, you know, I've had too much, you don't want anything too stodgy, there's probably a couple of chalk ices in the fridge for you. You can't want chalk ice.
No, I'm happy with all that. No, do you know what? I'd probably have the banana cake with custard and then a slice of Viennetta on the side.
You can't whack it, can you?
Yeah. Yeah, Viennetta, original or the mint one?
Oh, got to be mint.
Yes, yes.
I could do, but I could go with both. But you know, it's fine. It's like saying to somebody, "Jammy Dodger," or not original, or the jam version. Yeah.
Do you know what?
Everyone's going to go jam.
The Viennetta has just brought me right back again to this is a really classic. That's a really classic choice. And do you know what? Going back to the Beige Buffet, there was something else we missed off. You've got to have little slices of quiche as well.
Yes, yes, you do. Sorry, quiche Lorraine. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. We have them in the fridge. You get your Scotch eggs, your pork pie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you might have a side of nuts if it's Christmas or
whatever. Yeah.
Do you know that? Because we've still got them. You know the, no, not a Twiglet family.
Oh, no.
I know, I'm sorry to let you down. Maybe breadsticks.
Okay.
But you know when you get the silver balls like that with the bit in the middle so you can have like nuts one side and
we've still got
some of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So yeah. No. Do you know what? I'm having said I'm not a dessert person. I'm loving that. Who is walking through the door to enjoy that as well?
Oh, now you're talking. See, I think it will be a fascinating person to talk to. Although, God knows if we'd get on or not. I'm gonna go with Churchill. Just I know that's a bit like oh really like that's a bit obvious, but. I don't know. I think, I mean, he likes a good drink, so, and he likes his food. So, you know, you never know.
So that's it. So I was waiting for the third choice. So when I say you surprised me again, I don't mean that in a bad way, but, you know, because you've picked three people who I would say, well, other
they're
than...
They're all dead.
Well, no, not that. I was going to say, obviously, other than Winston Churchill, you know, like so Fred Dibner and Audie Murphy probably aren't massively well known to a lot of people, but all three of them are people with a history element and stories. Do you know what I mean? Like, or experiences, yeah. I should say, rather than stories.
Well, yeah, it's me all over. I love history. It was a toss up to do a history podcast or a film one, to be fair. And I realized that with films, you can essentially talk about whatever you want. If you want to talk about America in the early 2000s, you pick a film around then and just discuss it.
Okay.
then if any politics come up, you just go, well, it was 20 years ago, it's fine.
There you go.
It's not new, modern day, you're fine. I get around it.
New sub-series for you, relive it yourself with history. There you go.
I don't know, it sounds like a medium thing, doesn't it? Like I'm gonna sit there and
Winston Churchill, I mean, obviously presided in one of the more eventful periods of history as well, right? So
to be fair though, I mean, that's probably a bit of a cop-out choice. I mean, a guy I did my dissertation on, so I've read an awful lot about, was Sir Arthur Harris, who was a commander-in-chief for RAF Bomber Command from 1942 onwards. I hope I've got that right. If I haven't, it's embarrassing. He was the one who orchestrated the bombings on Germany and the Axis powers. So that'll be a fascinating conversation to have.
Yeah.
Although there is one on YouTube with an RAF Tony Mason, I think, but that would be a fascinating thing because these were people who are having to make, you know, horrendous decisions, but it was total war, and it's very easy to kind of condemn in when you're in peacetime. But it's like Douglas Haig, that'll be another one. So the British Armed Forces, British Army Chief, which I shouldn't know what it is, but you know Sir Douglas Haig, who when he dies in 1925, is lauded as a hero. By the time it gets to the 60s, he's getting vilified. So yeah, you know, just to talk to him. Because I think sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that the people at the top and they tend to be, you know, more of the upper echelons of society, should we say, they're very out of touch and they don't suffer anything. But, you know, horrendous being on the ground, but how would you live with having to send hundreds of pilots and hundreds of squadrons up night after night after night after night? It's fascinating. I don't know. Or men over the top all the time.
Because
it's too easy to look back and judge, because you don't know what time you're living in. You can't look ahead and be like, oh, this is the right thing to do. It's very difficult to know which way things will go.
No, I think I think you've chosen fantastically, both guests and food. I mean, that's a winning menu for me. Like I said, I'm just going to go have some toast with like Marmite on now.
You're a Marmite guy, are you?
I do like a bit of it. I'll do a couple of slices, Marmite on one, leave the other just with butter or peanut butter.
Yeah, good man. I'm going to say I'm more a peanut butter man.
But yeah, no, I do like a crunchy peanut butter.
Is a question. Oh, I'm more of a smooth, but I can do crunchy. But yeah. Here's a question for you. So, because this always separates the wheat from the chaff. I don't know why. As if I asked this to everybody, I thought I do. So, it's a bit of a controversial topic. It's nothing political, don't worry. But so, say you have jam on toast, right?
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would put butter on first, then jam over the top of it, which some people find demented.
I know,
but some people say you're just meant to do jam, and I'm like,
no.
Why?
I mean,
I don't know. It's
with peanut butter.
Peanut butter, put butter on first. Yeah. People think that's nuts as well. Like, yeah, but there's already butter in the peanut. Yeah, I know, but.
Who are these people? Make yourselves known.
I know.
No, you definitely, whatever, you've got to put that layer of butter on. It's the whole point. That's almost like your moisture, your little bit of moisture as well there. No.
Somebody had to go up me at work on Friday for the way I tie my shoes. So, because you know that I do the bunny ears one and I tie my shoes that way.
I was going to say, as long as you weren't putting a layer of butter on your shoes.
No, if I'm doing that on a Friday, then it's been a very, very bad week. Very bad week.
No, butter, then your second condiment. Yeah. Or second
to be coffee. Fair, I did spill a bit of tea on my shoes this week, but that was just because I was a bit careless.
Oh, I am. God, I might as well say this. So last week, well, at the time of recording last weekend, super familiar with the Wilsons. They came over from Florida and I was able to meet up with them. And so I put on, in the morning I get dressed. And me and the wife, we'd gone to London to do something else in the morning. And as part of it, we went to Brick Lane and went to one of the, they got one of the, the bagel shops there. So bought a bagel. So it was salt beef with mustard. Bite into it, look down, and all this mustard has gone all down my jeans, right? So, So I've kind of tried to clean that up as best I can. Then I meet up with Josh Wilson, and we're having a drink in the Wembley Box Park. I lift up my trying to take a selfie. I'm lifting up the pint to say cheers, and I'm spilling half the pint down my right arm as well. running down. Oh, dear, I walked out with more food on me than I ate that day. But yeah, that's about embarrassing me. I did have some more things to throw at you, some random stuff before you go.
Go for it.
So we've eaten, we're all sitting there. What one film would you stick on to either say, to get to know you, or this is one of your favourite films, I want you to sit down and watch this with me?
See, you can't go with Titanic, it's too long and they'll be asleep. You can't go with Zulu. You can't go with The Great Escape. These are just too long, especially if they've eaten all that. To be honest, because you've had quite a convivial night, you've enjoyed yourself. And yeah, I mean, I would probably stick on a film such as something like Liar Liar or The Mask or The Nutty Professor, something like that. Something that would be quite, finish it off, finish the night off on with something that you can have a good laugh at. If they weren't into that, go for a series, bit of Red Dwarf, bit of Cheers, which I know I haven't listened to your episode yet, but I will.
Yeah.
Bit of Cheers or, I don't know what my guests would think of those. What is this filth? just something a little bit, something that you can just, something you don't really have to engage your brain for. You can just sit and enjoy. That'd probably be what I'd do. What I'd pick, or if I was going to go the other way, I'd go for something that was just very easy to watch, The Day After Tomorrow, Independence Day, so, although they are getting a bit long, but something like that, something that you could just stick on and just enjoy, really, have a good laugh.
I wonder what Churchill would think of Independence Day, yeah?
Well,
we probably shouldn't go down that line.
he wouldn't like the scene where the Americans, of course, the Americans come up with this amazing plan, and you see these random 1/10 of British officers in the middle of the Sinai or something like that. And they're like, it's the Americans. They've got a plan. And this guy's just like, about bloody time. What do they want us to do? We don't know. It's like, oh, every time the Americans make something, they've got to have us as like these doddering upper class twits. And it's like, majority of us aren't like that. The majority of us would be like, yeah, come on, charging at them.
Get on with it.
Yeah.
Is there a location from a film that you'd have us sit and have the meal in? So it could be something a bit bizarre, or it could be a restaurant or a bar from TV or film.
Do you know? Okay, so right, it's a bit of a strange one, but only because I would love to see what it looked like before the volcano erupted. So I went to Pompeii and Herculaneum, and I actually thought Herculaneum was because it didn't get rained on, it got covered, so there's more, it's better preserved. But I would probably, I mean, obviously not the days before the eruption and stuff like that, but yeah, definitely, you know, Pompeii. Back in like AD 79 or whatever, AD 78 or whatever, something like that. AD 80, sorry. Something like that. Some probably there, Pompeii, just to see what it was like, just to get a look of how everything worked. And it would just be, and it's a beautiful place.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. The Napoli coast. The Naples coast and the Amalfi coast, sorry. Absolutely beautiful. So, and then it would just be, it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. So, yeah, we'll go Pompeii.
Nice. And the thing is, as you said, Herculaneum, not many people actually talk about that, but I actually think it's better, isn't it? As a site.
Oh, yeah. But it because of where it was, the wind blew all the ash over Pompeii, so Pompeii's roofs all collapsed in. And whereas Herculaneum was essentially covered by a big volcanic mudslide, a pyroclastic floor. So it's got like double story, and but most of it's still buried under Ercolano, which is the city above it. So the name kind of survived in a way. Yeah. So yeah, it's a beautiful place, and I actually thought that was, if anything, you know, because I remember my friend went on like a cruise, and I said, if you get a chance and you only got half a day or a couple of hours, go to Herculaneum instead, because Pompeii's a city. It's huge. Yes, they've uncovered most of it. It's absolutely massive. And me and my friend spent 2 days from essentially 9 o'clock in the morning until like 5 o'clock at night walking around it. Thankfully, it was April, so it wasn't boiling hot. And you were, after a couple of days, you were absolutely knackered. Like, it's not somewhere you can just go for the day. It's an actual, it's huge, huge.
Very good choice. And the final really random question. If you were to take the lead role in a film, so we're replacing Actor X with yourself, what would it be and why?
Oh, I have to watch myself with this one. I honestly, I don't know, is it too daft to say one of the Bond films?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, okay, I'll go for Russia with Love. I'll tell you what, I won't take Bond, but I know it's obviously a lot older than me and a different nationality, but I will take, I'll take Pedro. I always get it wrong. I will take the guy who helps him out. My brain's gone. Hang on a minute.
In what film? Sorry.
From Rush with Love. I can't remember the character's name. It'll come back to me.
So you'll be in a Bond film, but not be Bond.
Well, yeah, because that's just I will. Yeah, I'll go. I will be. Yeah, I'll be Karen Bay. Yeah, I'll go for that, which I know is a bit of a random choice.
That is unusual,
I don't know. Something a bit different.
It's your decision. Right, well, that marks the end of the dinner party, although, as we've been talking, a couple of other things have hit me about the buffets, the old family thing. You've got me all right on a memory trip with that.
I feel like I've just been psychoanalyzed, to tell you.
In desserts, you can also beat the traditional tub of Neapolitan ice cream, right?
That's true. That is true. Yeah. with those little like triangular wafers that you'd stick in. Or you'd get that. Did you ever get as a kid? Did you ever get that chocolate sauce that like went hard after it ate
the
ice cream?
Yes. I was gonna mention that, but I didn't. I can't remember what it's called. But yeah, you drizzled it over, and then after about 30 like seconds, it solidified.
Over,
Or a trifle, or a good homemade trifle.
Oh, you can't whack a trifle. Yeah, trifle. Yeah.
Oh, look, Sean, thank you very much. This has been brilliant having you on. Before you go, do you just want to again shout out your podcast and where people can find you?
Yeah, if people don't think I'm completely insane after that episode, yeah, you can find Review It Yourself pretty much wherever you find your podcast. It's also on YouTube now. And yeah, I mean, there's no great plan, so I don't sit down and decide I'm going to do this episode, I'm going to do that. I do in essence, but I don't sit down and plan. I just think, oh, I'd like to do this with this. I'd like to do that with them. Should I try this with them? I just have ideas like that. So there's doesn't matter what you like, there should be something there for you. I am going to start jumping into probably a few more lighthearted stuff. I might do maybe, because I don't think I've done any animated stuff. So I was thinking I might jump back and do kind of Shrek or the Iron Giant or a few Monsters Inc. Just do a few different, something a bit different. But we'll see. I never really know. But there's 270 odd episodes. There's bound to be something that you enjoy, I hope. Be kind on the old ones, because I started off and used to do it on my own, so be kind on those ones. But yeah, like I said, the podcast with the Psy. No politics, no pandering, absolutely no point. That's about it, really.
Yeah, no, thank you. And yeah, absolutely. If you're not ready, go check out Review It Yourself. Go subscribe. Yeah, I mean, you've heard the conversation that we're having on here, so just... If you want to hear your films being compared to half a sandwich, you know, only the way Sean can, that's your podcast for you. Right. So for me, Casting Views, you know where to get me because you're already listening to me. If you want to drop me a note, if you want to be on this kind of episode, you can just search for Casting Views across social media or drop me a mail at castingviewspod@gmail.com and I will catch you next time.
If I want your opinion, I will give it to you. Come on, check what we've got, 'cause you need it. Don't make us get a spork and horse feed.